This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Things never said before. Sabres in Salt Lake City for a game tonight against Utah. First go around for Buffalo in Utah after falling to the hockey club in Buffalo earlier this year. But the Sabres now looking for 4 wins in the last 5. Welcome in with Marty. I'm Brian and MB43. How much do you wish you were in Salt Lake City tonight?
Oh, I wish. I got some very, there was some very picturesque pictures, I should say. It's a bad choice of words, but whatever.
Images.
Images. Yeah, that's right. Picturesque images on social media yesterday from, you know, the people that are there and, you know, the mountains and everything. So I wish I could see. Like, I haven't seen Seattle yet. I haven't seen Salt Lake City, obviously. This is the first time Sabres are going to be there. So those are on my list of let's have a road crew party in those cities over the next few years so I can go and visit. But the thing that's cool, so Salt Lake City, obviously, it was put together very quick. The Arizona Coyotes finished the season last year. All of a sudden, it's like, they're going to move. They're going to Salt Lake City. The season's over. You know, they get on the plane. They go meet the fans. It happens very quick. So the building tonight that you're going to see is a very interesting, not for hockey type building. The end zones where the goals are, there's about 5 rows of seat, and then it's a straight up shooting wall. And then the seats start up about, like, you know, 30 feet in the air because it's made for basketball to come all the way down to the floor. And we all know the basketball court is smaller than the ice rink. But the thing that's also cool, it's not just their game rink, Duffer. Like, their practice rink is a very unique type of situation, which the Sabres experienced yesterday with the ice rink inside a speed skating oval, the long track speed skating. And so the guys and the coaches took their lap around yesterday before their skates. So that would have been really cool. I would have enjoyed to.
Have you never done that?
I've never. Well, I've done inline skating on the long track speed skating ring, but no ice. Like in the summertime in Quebec City, they would have the Guy Boucher. For those Canadians that remember Guy Boucher.
Did he win how many gold?
5 medals, I think. That's
5 medals, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. But so there's a track in Guy Boucher.
It was not Guy Boucher. That's the hockey coach. It was Gaétan.
Gaetan Boucher, not Guy Boucher. You're right. It's like David Brisebois and Julien Brisebois. Thank you. Thank you. It was not Guy Boucher. Guy Boucher is a coach. It was Gaetan Boucher. But anyway, it's a Gaetan Boucher oval. And in the summertime, you train on it. And I'll tell you this. Like, the Sabres look like they're having a lot of fun skating on that. It's a long track.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the long track speed skating, it takes forever. So you're not going to go out there and do three or four or five laps. You're going to do one, and you're going to say, okay, we're done.
Yeah, I was fortunate to, of course, go to college and live in Calgary for a while and was able to benefit from their Olympic facilities and go out there and enjoy that. It was always an absolute treat. Just so different, you know, from what you typically experience in the confines of 200 by 85. So I'm glad the Sabres had that opportunity yesterday, and now they find themselves, and they will many times here down the stretch, against a team that is absolutely desperate in the playoff push. Utah starts tonight, 4 points out, and as we talked about earlier in the week, they got smoked 7-1 by Edmonton in their last game. So what should we expect tonight with Paterka coming back into the mix?
Okay, a little correction. Utah's 4 points back, and Gaetan Boucher won 4 medals. Two at
How many did Guy win?
Guy did not win. One, okay. Gaetan won a silver in Lake Placid, and 3 in Sarajevo in 84. So anyway,
I believe he was up against Eric Heiden. Was he not?
Oh, in 1980? I don't know about that.
Heiden might have won 5 gold medals.
He was, after Eric Heiden, who won all gold medals at that event. Yes, I'm reading.
1980 was a big one for me. It was a very, very, very influential year in my sports viewing.
Dude, Eric Heiden won gold in the 500, 1,000, 1,500, 5,000, and 10,000 meter races at the Lake Placid event.
Amazing.
What an accomplishment for a speed skater, just dominating, not just in short distance, long distance as well. So incredible. But okay, going back to Utah, 2002 Winter Olympics. That's why we have that Olympic kind of feel to it. They got spanked, and they did not look good against the Edmonton Oilers. Karel Vemelka had a tough night. So they put Jackson Stauber, in net for this one. But I expect Karel Vemelka is going to, you know, play as much as they need him to play this year to get back in the race. Vancouver somehow has found their way back into a playoff spot. St. Louis, Calgary Flames are right there. But Utah is a team that could be sneaky good. You look at their lines. You look at the players that they have. I mean, Logan Cooley is a great hockey player. Nick Schmaltz, I've always liked him. Clayton Keller is fantastic. So I think they've got some really, really strong young talent, and they're making a push this year. But in the next few years, Utah is going to be very competitive.
Only Philadelphia, Chicago, and San Jose have worse home records than Utah. However, the hockey club has been above the break-even line for the last 24 games, which is a pretty good sample size. They're 12-8-4, which is above NHL 500. They peaked this year at game 32. They were 16-11-5 at that point in time.
Yeah.
They proceeded to lose 10 of the next 12. And then they have righted the ship enough to stay in the mix here. So, and you honestly, like you mentioned Vemelka, you would be hard pressed to find a goaltender in the NHL who has as large a sample size against Buffalo, meaning like 5 games or more, and have a goals against and save percentage what Vemelka does. He hasn't been rewarded with wins and losses, but he's got a 1.83 and a 9.42 against Buffalo in 6 lifetime appearances. So he's been good, and he was part of it this year when Utah won 5-2 back in Buffalo, and it was a tough day for Luukkonen.
So it's kind of funny because when Karel Vemelka came to North America to play in the National Hockey League, or at least, you know, go to camp in Arizona, there may be was one person in the world that was watching Arizona Coyotes preseason games. And that person was you, Duffer, because we showed up to work the next day and you're like, hey, what do you know about that Vemelka kid in Arizona? And I'm like, Vejmela? Like, because there's a J in there that shouldn't be there. It's Vemelka, but they call him Veg. So anyway, you're like, yeah, he catches the other way. I'm like, I don't know anything about him. And he really caught your eye. And now over the years has had some ups and downs, but this year was an up year and a year where Connor Ingram started well, but now Connor Ingram is back into the players assistance program. Fortunately lost his mother this year to cancer. So it's been a hard year for Connor Ingram personally, but Vemelka has stepped up and played extremely well in Arizona and in Utah, which allows them to be where they are right now. And I do feel that Utah was going to be aggressive. I thought they were going to be more aggressive at the trade deadline. They really weren't that aggressive, but I think they will go into next year and to the draft and free agency and bolster that team. So can they get
Vemelka
in this year?
Got his extension already. So he got this, he's a huge part of
he got
this
paid.
Moving forward. Yeah,
he got paid, which is great. But I do feel that if they get in this year, that's great. But this is the start of what Utah is going to do. Like, I feel there is going to be some movement and some ads this summer with the hockey club or the Mammoth or the whatever they're going to be called.
Well, keep in mind, they were busy last offseason trying to retool the defense, bringing in Sergachev in a very, very, very high-profile deal and adding Sean Durzi. And then, you know, injuries across the blue line. Real, like, that's why it was so impressive through 32 games that they were above 500, because they were still dealing with that huge blow to the blue line. So again, they're staying in it. And speaking of goaltenders like Vemelka, Carell can only hope to accomplish a portion of what Matt Vince has done during his best ever goaltending career in the National Lacrosse League. Mm-hmm. He is coming up here on the show as the Bandits have back-to-back games this weekend. They're home tomorrow. They're in Albany on Saturday. And we also have Shayna Goldman on this show. So this is it. I mean, it's a light lift for us having such top-notch guests, but it's a big one for our audience today.
We'll save our second best kind of info for tonight. Like, I feel like we have great guests, so this is going to be a great show. But, you know, all the pre-game talk and players, and I know that, you know, we look at JJ Paterka is most likely going to play tonight, and in practice yesterday was JJ Paterka with Tage Thompson in the middle, Alex Tuch on the right. What does that mean for Brett Murray, who I thought was played a really, really good game in the last game? He played like a few shifts in the third period. Lindy Ruff was trusting him because Brett Murray plays that style of game that is straight. And he's a big body and wins one-on-one battle. He's not flashy, but I think Lindy Ruff liked what he saw. But is he going to be in the lineup tonight, right? Is that going to be Mellenstein with Kozak and Lafferty? Or are you putting Brett Murray in there just because, well, why not? He's on the trip. Mm-hmm. You've got him. Maybe you put him there. So Paterka coming back is definitely going to be something we'll pay attention at 8:30 tonight when we talk about the game on the pregame.
One of 14 games in the NHL tonight.
Crazy.
Do you know?
Two last night.
I think I didn't do the math properly. Can you name two teams that aren't playing tonight? One of them got roasted last night.
Oh, so Seattle's not playing tonight. Okay.
Right.
I was trying to think like the teams that played last night.
It's good for Seattle and probably the league that Seattle's not playing.
No, I listened to Dan Bylsma talk about the game. He said, look, we didn't handle it
well. They had a bad 2 minutes. I mean,
they had a bad 2 minutes. He said, we played well after that, just couldn't buy a goal. Gustafsson was really good in net, but they did have a bad start to the game. So, I don't know who else is not playing. Usually I look at the teams that have played the night before.
Yeah.
So Toronto is in New York. Colorado is in.
Do your homework later. Pittsburgh's also not playing, and you can insert the other two teams later. So,
yeah, Colorado's in Ottawa. That's a big one tonight.
Yeah.
So
this is all stuff we get to dive in with Shayna here at the bottom of the hour. So,
she's got to have a field day with what's happening in the NHL these days. Like, with Ovechkin 8 goals away and the playoff races, like, she must be loving it.
No Norris and obviously no Jiří Kulík because he is not on the trip. So amidst Paterka's return. We're still, hoping that at some point down the stretch here, they are able to recreate the full lineup.
I would hope so. I think those two pieces, though, of Josh Norris and Yuri Kulik are big, right? If they're not there. But to me, it still comes down to, like, Paterka, how is he feeling? Can he get right back up to speed? Because Thompson and Tuck have been really driving the bus, right? Offensively, it's been great. Look at the defense. They've been rolling Dahlin, Byram, and Power on three different pairs. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is also a big thing to look tonight. If that continues, and could that be what the Sabres mind or a future look into game one? Like, we want depth on the back end. We don't want to just load up a top pair. And we want all three of our, maybe our top three guys, to be on different pairs. That would be interesting to see. But yeah, I think Paterka, Thompson, and Tuck is probably the biggest thing to watch, because yeah, you're missing some offense in Norris and Kulik right now.
Maybe though, if you look further down the roster among forwards, and he had a more impactful game for sure against Boston. But where do you feel Jack Quinn is at based on the challenges that this year has presented? He's expected to line up tonight with Krebs and Greenway.
Okay, when I look at Jack Quinn, the biggest thing for me is, are you playing fast? And I know that sometimes players, and I know we've done that with players, like, what does that mean to you when you're being told you got to play fast? And they're like, I got to play fast, I got to play quick. Like, some guys don't know. If I'm looking at Jack Quinn, I'm showing him clips of the Boston game. It's basically him moving the puck quickly. When he has the puck and he touches one, two, it's like, well, college basketball, right? March Madness is starting today. If you have the ball and you have to do like four or five dribbles before you get to the hoop, sometimes it's too late. The double team comes in and you don't have the shot, right? Like, Jack Quinn, it's one dribble and the puck should be gone. It's one dribble and you should be skating. It's one dribble and you should be shooting. Like, that's what I thought Jack Quinn did, and did well on that play that he found Peyton Krebs on the power play. Mm-hmm. The puck went around the horn. It comes back to Jack Quinn. Boom. He didn't even stop it. He knew exactly where it was going to go. Jack Quinn is a smart hockey player. He has to use that to his advantage to make the game and to speed up his game. Know where he wants to go before he gets it. And that's been the problem for me for Jack Quinn this year. So many times he gets it, takes a step, takes another step, shoots it in a shin pad. Takes a step, takes another step, wants to make a pass, it gets caught. Like, you got to play quick in your decision-making. And I thought he did that against Boston. So that's the one thing I'm going to look for. And, you just reminded me, I'll write it down on a piece of paper, but I sometimes put notes like, okay, what do I look for breakdowns in the intermission? And Jack Quinn, to follow up his Boston game, I think will be important to see how quick he moves the puck in Utah.
And obviously above that line right now is the McLeod trio, which has Benson on one side and Zucker on the other. So the hope there, I mean, Zucker's been so prominent on the power play. Do you think that line has five-on-five capability at this point, based on the fact that, Benson has moved up and down the roster and I think carried himself pretty well when he did get a little top-line ice time of late?
I had that discussion.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With my son last night, and we were talking about the Sabres line for next year. And I was trying to put the top two lines together. And I think Ryan McLeod has played himself into a really solid 2-3+ type of center. Like, he's not, to me, he's not playing like a third line center right now. He's playing like a top six, but not a high-end top six, but a good top six center. So I'm thinking, okay, if you have Norris there, are you moving Thompson back to the wing? And are you putting Kulik in your top six? Can McLeod play there? I just don't see Zach Benson being a top six guy. But I think Zucker can be. Zucker has definitely shown the the production, but also the ability to play a game against other top lines from other teams. Mm. Wouldn't that be a great spot for maybe Jack Quinn to say, hey, right, Quinny, get yourself back up to speed here from now until the end of the season. Continue working on those things that really make you the best version of yourself. And how about having Jack Quinn on the right side with McLeod and Zucker next year? Maybe that's the hope here. I haven't seen enough of the Jack Quinn to say that's put in Sharpie on my lineup card next year, but I put that in pen and saying like that could be a possibility next year.
Do you think, have we seen more of Tyson Kozak in the NHL than you could have imagined this year?
Yes, I think we've seen more. It was a player that I really liked. I remember his first training camp and development camp, and it was like, man, look at this guy. He's everywhere. He's great defensively. It's been slow and there's been some injuries, but I do believe that there's a possibility that if there's player movements this summer, a guy like Kozak could come in and maybe round up the fourth line and be in that role.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what the lineup looks like for the remainder of this trip. We know J.J. Paterka comes back in tonight against Utah. The trip continues with an afternoon game on Saturday against Minnesota and an afternoon game on Sunday versus Winnipeg before the club returns home on the 25th against Ottawa. The Bandits are home tomorrow. Best goaltender in NHL history is Matt Vince. He's with us now on Sabres Live. Hi, Matt. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me. I love listening to you talk hockey, too.
It looks like you're in a classroom. Like, it looks like it's a blackboard behind you.
Yeah, well, this is my lunch break. So, lacrosse players have the luxury of working full-time jobs. So, and then playing lacrosse on the side.
So what is this, like your classroom? Is it somewhere you usually just hang out, or?
It's close to my office. I teach mostly phys ed. I have a kinesiology class, but basically pretty much just my,
there's a classroom nearby that was, I thought would be quiet. People have an interview.
Yeah. We assume that all the time too. And then people are like, why is it so loud in there? But anyway, that's our problem for sure. Matt, how would you describe after the 7-0 start the last 5 weeks that have the Bandits still in first place at 10-2 overall?
Yeah, I think looking at the last, even before our first loss, I think we've been kind of getting by. We haven't had a lot of clean games from start to finish. A little bit of slow starts, some penalty trouble has had us, having to claw back in some of those games where we were, that's what a good team does, is we were able to find ways to win in the fourth quarter. And then the two losses, the one, I think we actually blew a lead and late in the game. And then the last one at home was a tough one in front of a sellout crowd.
You may not want me at any of your games because I was at the home game against San Diego. So that was the first loss of the year. I'm sorry I caused that to happen. But I noticed, and we've talked about it with Steve Priolo before, and like you give up a goal and you guys quickly look at the Jumbotron, the video scoreboard, what happened. I hate it as a goalie to ever look at the scoreboard. I never wanted to see if I did good or if I did bad. It was like for later in the, the next day to review. But you do it right on the spot. Like, what's the conversation with your teammates? But how does that get you ready for the next one? Because it looks like you're doing, self-assessment right then.
Yeah, it's something that I think as a goaltender, I grew up as a hockey goalie. So, you're used to giving up, two goals, three goals, and then you play lacrosse in the summertime and now you're giving up 12. It's a different mindset. So you need that quick turnaround. And I just found it a great way to talk and have a dialogue on maybe what they did right, what we could work on. And then it's kind of reset and move on to the next save type of thing. That's kind of my thought process. Marty, that it's a lonely place back there in the crease sometimes, and you don't get to talk to too many people. So I use that time to be able to talk to my teammates and voice my concerns, or they can voice their concerns to me, and then we move on from it.
Is there ever anything amusing said in a situation like that, just to try to lighten it a bit and get back to what you need to do?
depends on who's back there. But usually if it's Steve and myself, it's usually pretty businesslike. But, you know, we've had some characters in the past that would say something funny. You know, it might be my fault or whatever it is. But, you know, sometimes try to just try to like ease the tension a little bit. And sometimes that's a great thing for us.
What's your routine? I mean, obviously you talk about, and we talk a lot about, you've been around for a long time. I'm sure the routine has changed over the years. So how do you prepare yourself physically and mentally, like every game? And this weekend, it's like back to back. Like that means the routine is going to change. But how do you prepare yourself?
Oh, well, the one thing for physically wise, I do a lot of the same workouts. I journalize everything. And so just to say, for example, that Calgary week where we got blown out, I never did those workouts ever again. Like that they're out. They're out there. So I try to stay with what works, you know, whether it's food, you know, film. And then the day of the game really gets geared up into not so much superstitions. You know, I was a hockey goalie and I loved Patrick Waugh growing up, and it was more routine. I just want to get myself in the place, right mindset where I'm going to play well. And hopefully it doesn't involve too many other people or outside factors, because then that can be problematic. And I think as I've gotten older, I've been less routine oriented because there's so much stuff you can't control. So you just try to do some of the things that you can. You know, whether it's, you know, putting on your equipment one side at a time or who takes the last shot on, you know, warm up, those type of things you can control. And, I try to stay on those.
Do the guys talk to you, or do they stay away from you in the locker room before the game?
I think, that was a big thing. Like, don't talk, like, why are you talking? But like, I've been trying to, as I've gotten older, try to have a little bit more fun. And, you know, whether it's, you know, being involved, singing the songs in the dressing room or dancing in warm up, just so they can see that I'm not untouchable type of thing, which some guys will still do that because they're so used to that's ingrained in them that you know, you don't talk to the goalie. That's going to throw them off or whatever. But I think a lot of the guys that I'm really close with on the team will talk to me and they think
we're crazy. They're the one that are crazy. They think they can't talk to a human being before a game. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are some guys, which, you know, even players, there's going to be players you can't talk to a little bit before games as well. And I think as I've gotten older, that's something that I've been trying to change a lot. You know, because, you know, this isn't going to last forever, and you want to enjoy as much as you can of it.
Real quick, true or false, Swedish fish are a part of your routine?
Oh, that has become a part of my routine. It's super weird, but I don't want to say how many I had, because there's not a lot of them. So if they buy them a like the Sam's Club bag for me, then they're wasting a lot of them. But it has something to do with my number, so it's a very small amount, but it has worked for me. In the game I didn't have it, our equipment guy and you know, people that are close to the team, they said, we were in Toronto. They don't sell Swedish fish in Toronto. So now they have to travel with Swedish fish.
That's amazing.
Tom Askey, who is Ryan Miller's backup in Rochester for years, but also played in the Cincinnati and Mighty Ducks organization, he had a Kit Kat in his locker, and he wouldn't eat it until after the game if he felt he deserved it, something like that. And so if he was mad at himself, the Kit Kat stayed in the locker and he didn't get it as a reward. Like, that is, you know, kind of the same thing, like, you know, food, you know, routine or, you know, kind of superstitions. But I do like it. I think that's part of having fun, right? It's just, it can't just be, I got to go in and make saves. Like, yeah, you got to have fun with other things.
Yeah. And it brings other people into the mix a little bit. It's funny now that I didn't know that was going to be a thing, but they know, and our one guy, Dan Racine and Casey, they make sure that I have Swedish fish every, or whatever, the mini fish before every game.
And it can't, not the be big Swedish ones, berries. It's the mini one too. Yeah, it has to be the mini one.
Yeah, it can't be the Swedish berries that they sell where I'm from or in Canada, but it's got to be the mini fish.
Matt, good luck this weekend. Thank you as always for the time.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
There he is, Matt Vince, winningest netminder in NLL history, eight-time goaltender of the year. And tomorrow night in Bandit Land, it's Mental Health Awareness Night. There'll be a fan wall mural on the 100 level where fans can leave encouraging messages. We'll have Best Self Behavioral Health, Mental Health Advocates, Horizon Health Services, Morgan's message. All set up in the concourse to meet and talk with fans. It's just another great step in professional sports and connecting with people. And we look forward to seeing you there. Bandits.com/tickets. When we come back, Shayna Goldman from The Athletic as we get it back on the ice. Stay with us.